This is Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa lava to all of our Samoan listeners and to all our other Nation listeners across the Pacific. Welcome to Nation Footy, the place where you get all the best intel and stories from our rugby league and rugby union Pacifica talent. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me each week is the Cook Island push-up king, the king of the West, Tinarau Arona T.
Kia ora, Sammy.
Here we go.
Oh, king of the West. Nah, man. There's a new king of the West.
Sorry.
And his name is Nathan Cleary.
Yes, he is.
What a time to be a Westie.
And a Panther supporter.
We'll touch on the grand finals shortly. Also the NRLW grand final. But we're also talking to a South Rabbitohs legend, Alex Johnston, PNG Cornwall's representative as well. And he's dropping a new children's book called A Footy Tale.
A Footy Tale. Wow. A man of many talents. Can score tries and write books.
Score many tries.
Many tries, you're right.
So looking forward to that chat. And what else? The show will be touching on rugby union as well.
Yep.
Bit of the World Cup news and, yeah.
And obviously we're going deep into the grand final. A lot longer than usual, I reckon. Can't wait.
Let's have a crack. All right.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, my moment of the week, it was obviously big grand final week. The grand final week.
I thought you were going
to grand. I was like, found the word.
Yeah.
That on the grand final week, you have the NRL grand final lunch. You have the big game, but you also have the Daily M Awards night, which I found a ticket to.
And you couldn't find two tickets.
And unfortunately, I couldn't find two. So I apologize. Right. Next time I will bring you along. But it was a real special evening. The main thing for me was seeing how many Pacifica athletes there were there that we got to celebrate that made the Daily M Team of the Year as well. You know, in the men's we had Darlin Watinez Lesniak that has been on our show.
On the show, yep.
Jermaine Isako, Stephen Crichton. We also had Big Payne Haas and David Fifita from the Gold Coast Titans.
All of them made the Daily M Team of the Year for the men's game.
All in the Daily M Team.
That's impressive.
Of the men's. And there was a fair few from the women's as well. You know, we had Sarah Tongatuki, Samaima Taufa.
Also on the show, Samaima, yep.
Who else did we have on the show last week?
Yasmin Clydesdale. Three-time premiership winner now.
And also the other big centre from the Broncos. Awesome player.
Mele Hufanga. Yeah, she's outstanding. She needs to get the ball a lot more if the Broncos want to push for any more titles moving forward. But Samaima Taufa, also captain of the year.
Yes, it was real cool to hear her speech as well. She acknowledged her co-captain, Zahara Tamara. So, yes, a huge year for our Pacific athletes right across the NRL and NRLW season.
Oh, outstanding, T. I can't wait to join you next year. Is that sweet?
You already booked the ticket, mate. Coming along. Let's go.
Talofalava, guys. My name is Farmanu Brown from the Canterbury Bulldogs, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Don't forget, all NRL games are on ABC Radio Australia, and you'll be able to catch all them games next season because we just played the big GF. But we also have the Pacific Championships coming up that you'll be able to listen to on ABC Radio Australia. So stay tuned. Speaking of the big one.
The big deal.
8 seconds left. Kenny into Flegler. Brisbane players have collapsed. How did that get away? Penrith are going ape. They don't know how they did it, but they have.
That has to be the best grand final. For me, it was. What about for you? What?
It's up there. I think it was close with the Brisbane and Cowboys one. That was not too long ago. Was that 2015?
Yep.
But just that comeback alone, like it says a lot about the Penrith Panthers. And also, look at the narrative. They've gone four in a row, won back-to-back, back so what, back-to-back-to-back? Three-peat?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, three-peat.
They had to chase down a 24-8 scoreline in the last 20 minutes. Look, I just thought it was a real entertaining match, a roller coaster of a ride. As on my socials, I posted with my family, you know, that roller coaster where they were on top of the world after the first try, down on their knees, pretty much almost crying with 20 minutes to go, and then all this, and then coming together.
I thought your son was going to break the TV. He was getting close to it, and he was going to rip it down, and the blankets over his head because he didn't want to watch it anymore.
Oh, mate, yeah. I'm just happy that they come out of it on the, you know, the positive end. But speaking about the game, I thought the Panthers came out of the blocks with the fast and physical start. Samoan, Moses Leota, and James Fisher-Harris for the Panthers really went after it and set the tone for this match. They both carried the ball direct and with intent. The Panthers, they scored their first try after building a lot of pressure. You know, they were 11 from 11 sets in that first, you know, quarter of the game. The Broncos, what was it,
four from 11, yeah.
So a fair few errors from the Broncos, which showed maybe a little bit of nerves. So, yeah, the Panthers capitalized on that. But the Broncos, they weren't that bad defensively. You know, their goal line defense, they, you know, I thought that they actually held the Panthers out just in that first period. And they scored a try just before halftime. To go into halftime after Panthers having that much momentum and to go into halftime 8-6, I think, was a good thing for the Broncos.
Yeah, did that surprise you, the fact that the amount of possession the Panthers had, their completion rate, but the first try, it came off, you know, the dropout and a tap back, not actually from like attacking flair that we're probably so used to. Did that surprise you that they didn't get more tries off the back of their dominance?
There was a few times when they were attacking the line, I felt like they kind of lost their way a little bit, you know, whether it was because of second phase play where they would get an offload. So, and then there were times where the Broncos line were just standing still waiting for the Panthers to make a play. But because the defense of the Broncos were actually pretty good, you know, they seemed to shut down Brian Tottle as well. You know, Brian Tottle didn't get many touches on that good ball, and to try, he usually scoring tries weekly, but you know, they found a way to cut him out.
So defensively with the Broncos on that edge, the way they slide and they stay connected, is that the key, staying connected? Because I think, say for other teams, they probably get nervous and try and shoot out, and that's where they find that space for Tottle to score in the corner. Is that what Brisbane do really well, is stay connected as a line?
It's that trust from the outside. So Herbie Farnworth at centre there, Isaac Tungo couldn't get outside him and to get to that winger to bite in for him to pass to Tottle. So what the winger was doing, he was holding off and letting Farnworth just put pressure and chase Tungo from the inside. So Tungo had to like show and go himself.
I was wondering why Tungo couldn't get that ball away to Tottle, you know, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so it just takes a lot of trust from that Broncos defensive line. But I thought when they come out of the sheds at halftime, you know, they started to find their groove, the Broncos did, and, you know, started winning that momentum battle. And in the first 20 minutes of the second half, within a space of 10 minutes, it was the man himself, Ezra Mam, just stepped up and scored a hat-trick in, 10 minutes time. A huge passage of play. You know, I think to lose a grand final and to score a hat-trick, that must have hurt.
Oh, man, that smile on his face too. And that, like when he was running away and scoring that try, and you could see it in slow-mo, how much it meant to him and his team when they celebrated. You just thought, my cousin left early. He goes, nah, I'm done, Penrith supporter. He left after the third try from Ezra.
Well, as I said, my kids were crying. There was only 18 minutes left. Yeah. And, you know, we thought, it's done. Broncos have won the premiership. After the game, Nathan Cleary even mentions Ezra Mam individually and says, you know, you're a freak.
Yep.
So that goes to show how much, what Nathan Cleary thinks about him. But, yeah, at that point in the last 20 minutes ago where every Panther fan probably thought that was it, I thought, I even said it out loud, I go, if there's one way this Panthers team will turn things around, it'll be Nathan Cleary. He'll step up. And the Iceman delivered.
He did. The new king of Penrith, they're saying. He's not the prince anymore.
He's not the
king.
Prince, he's the king. It's he had same. Four huge moments. The first one when he broke through the line, and then Moses Leota.
What about the toe and the big prop?
Came from the inside, passed in the inside, scored underneath the post. That was the start of that comeback. The second one on the very next set, off the kickoff, about I think it was like the third or fourth play, he kicks a cross field.
Yeah, it was on the third.
Kicks the 40-20, so backs himself there. The third one, he creates that opportunity. I know Stephen Crichton had to do a lot, and we'll touch on him shortly, to score that try, but he dug straight into the line, deep into the line, passed out the back to create that opportunity for the Samoan centre, Stephen Crichton, to score that try. And finally, he scores the winning try underneath the post, kicks the winning goal, and the rest is history.
Oh, man, impressive from Nathan Cleary. Like, I think that's a masterclass of how someone can deliver under pressure, especially because they had Jerome Luai go off in the 50th with his shoulder. They lost Sorensen. They lost Yao to concussion. They came back on after, but it was against the run of play, the Panthers. They had to fight to get out of it, and he's just like, get on my back, boys. We're going.
Well, you mentioned those names there and how they had to come off due to HIL injuries. His father would have, he, like we mentioned, Nathan Cleary's masterclass, but a coaching masterclass, Ivan Cleary. Not many people would have noticed the amount of rotations he had to cover. He was doing like, so Scott Sorensen having to come off, Isaiah Yeo for HIA. You mentioned Luai with the shoulder injury. He has to replace all these people, all these players with other players and then put them in the right positions. I noticed that watching in the last 20 minutes, and he just had like, I think he had like a back rower playing in the center, got the right middles at the right time to step up. So yeah, hats off to Ivan Cleary for the coaching masterclass. But speaking about the man going over to the Bulldogs next year.
100th game as well. Finishes on a high, 100th game in a premiership to finish up at the Panthers. And as you mentioned, he's off to the Bulldogs.
Four grand finals in a row, scores in every grand final.
Four consecutive grand finals he scored.
Samoan Stephen Crichton, man, he's a big game player. And, you know, I wish him all the best at Bulldogs. Might not be as...
Is that his last grand final?
I'm not saying, but I don't know. We'll see. He might turn things around.
He might.
Also, Spencer, just quickly before we go, Spencer Lenu going over to the Sydney Roosters, my beloved red, white and blue. Take your three rings over with you and start adding more to that collection, Spencer. You know, we'd love to have you there, mate.
He's tackled 12 away from the Brisbane goal line, midway through the tackle count. Kenny, centre field left to Cogger. Out the back to Cleary, then to Crichton. Crichton over the 10-metre line for the goal line. Crichton gets there. How did he do it? He's over for Penrith. Oh, as the old race callers used to say, don't rip up your tickets. It's Brisbane 24, Penrith 18. The grand final try-scoring specialist, Stephen Crichton, is over.
Yes, don't rip up your tickets. Don't burn your jerseys too early, because you never know what can happen in the game of rugby league. Stephen Crichton, you are the man. That was outstanding. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just thought that the two teams that deserved to be in the grand final were there, and they delivered. You know, everyone was expecting a real entertaining game, and they, you know, that's what it came with it. Highest of the highs, lowest of the lows. You know, unfortunately, Brisbane will be going home with no trophy, but I think they'll learn a lot from this. If you look back at 2020, the Panthers, when they lost to the Melbourne Storm, that started that legacy, you know, the legacy that they're on now. So, you know, could this be, you know, some people say you have to win one to lose one. Could it be Broncos one?
I'm with you. I think as a rugby union, diehard, tragic, that was probably one of the best games I've seen from both codes in a long time. So we will shift over now to rugby union.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, bro. It's hard to come from that high and then talk about, I mean, some people don't even know the World Cup's on at the moment. It's just hard with that time difference, but it's still exciting because even though Samoa and Tonga are out of the hunt of getting to the quarterfinals, Fiji have got one foot inside the quarterfinals.
Hi, I'm Folau Fanga, and you are listening to Nation Footy.
Let's get over to the Rugby World Cup that's happening. We'll start off with Samoa versus Japan. Look, Samoa, they've been very consistent. I will say that. Like, the way that they have been playing this year, both in a positive way and probably in ways where they need to be better. You know, they'll be disappointed with the results that they had, because I think there was a lot of expectation on Samoa to probably progress through to the next stage. And even Dan Leo, who we had on the show not long ago, he probably felt like in his tweets it was a missed opportunity with the players that they had and that the draw that they had. But look, we've highlighted the positives throughout this whole campaign, like their ability to play for one another and their resilience and how they play well in patches. That was evident. But again, another yellow card. Another red card. Obviously, they're major factors in trying to get the result that you're looking for. And you can't do that when you're always playing with 14 or 13 men on the field. But when I go back to, you know, that word resilient and staying in the fight, playing for each other, it was 25-8 with 15 minutes to go to Japan. They're almost going to walk away with the game. But when they were a man down, they managed to fight their way back and narrowly lose 28-22. Like, they came back. Like, they obviously love playing with each other on the field in terms of, you know, the moments that matter. Christian Lilifano stepped up. He scored a late try. They got a nice more try. But again, when the game was on the line, when they fought back 80th minute, they had a line out penalty to be able to continue on. They stuff it up in terms of not in a way on the throw or the contest. No one even jumped. Like, it's those moments that matter in the pressure cooker where you have to be able to deliver. And that's probably the little bit that's lacking at the moment for Samoa.
Yeah, you mentioned that, I think, the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just that tweaking. Does that come from spending time together, the chemistry, but then also going through training, doing a preseason like type of training where you're, you know, hitting rock bottom, but then you have to start switching on in those moments? That's where you turn it on. Because I feel like, I know going back to the rugby league, that's where Panthers excel when they're, you know, when they're on the back foot, when they're tired, when they're fatigued, they know how to push through in those small moments.
You're 100% right, T. It's that cohesion that you're building, going through those reps, and it doesn't always have to be those physical reps on the field. It's like that mental rehearsal as well, that energy that you get within a playing group. So then you start doing things on instinct, knowing for where we talked about the defensive efforts from the Broncos, how they were Herbie Farnworth and they stayed in sync. That's probably what Samoa are missing at the moment, how they can just play in sync together and be natural and then use their physicality as a bonus. But I think moving forward for Samoa, I reckon if they bring in a smart defensive coach, especially one that understands systems around defending, like the first three phases of scrums and stuff like that, I reckon they're going to benefit from a person like that. I've got no doubt if someone runs it straight at one of those players, they're folding them like a deck chair. But it's more with Japan, when they play with their width, it's like they just got caught, didn't slide well. So it's just that role clarity.
You said you mentioned someone defensive coach, like you've got someone in mind. Who are you thinking?
No, I actually don't. There's a guy that I would, and I'm all for, you know, making sure that you get more, like, say, Samoan coaches or Tongan coaches.
Yeah.
But like the Crusaders do, they always bring in one coach from the outside, like a Ronan O'Gara, who's the ex-Irish player who's now coaching over in France. They would bring him in to the Crusaders setup because they wanted to get better at their kicking game.
Yep.
Understand Northern Hemisphere type of footy, you know, the kick chase and how they implement that in their game. I think Samoa need to do something like that. They did it before Scott Weismantle, leading into the 2011 World Cup.
Yeah.
He was in there, but I just think if they can adopt someone like that with a defensive background, I reckon that would be that tweak that they might need to be able to, you know, push teams further.
There you go, Samoa. You've heard it here first.
And then, you know, moving on to the Fiji-Georgia game. Look, I think there's an old saying, it's better to win ugly than lose pretty. And that's what they did in that game. So Fiji have come off the back of some pretty big games. Like, emotionally, they would have had to get up for every single one of them. And I feel like this performance was coming.
Yeah.
You just can't stay there every week. You know, when they get up for Wales, they get up for Australia. That takes a lot of energy out of you. So for them to still get the job done against Georgia, they put them under pressure and they still came out on top, even though it probably wasn't the scoreline they were looking for. They're probably looking for that bonus point, but they still got the job done and put themselves in box seat for quarterfinals.
Yeah, some teams have this wake-up call game and, you know, lose. But on Fiji's hand, luckily they got the result and they can use it as, you know, as a bit of a loss, as a performance of like, okay, where do we need to fix up our game? You know, that a little bit of energy sparked back up to the next one.
Yeah, it'll be around freshening up as well. So now they can go, okay, we've got that bit. We'll freshen up for our next game against Portugal. Because all they need to do is win, and they're in. Wales are on 14 points at the top of their pool. The Wallabies are on 11 points, but they've got no more games left. Fiji are on 10 points, but still have a game up their sleeve against Portugal. So they just need a win.
So they win, they're into the finals.
They're in the finals. So that's great news for Fiji. And I want to highlight one player that I thought was outstanding, was their captain, Waisea. I thought that number 13, like he made, he had 17 ball carries, 135 metres, and he scored a beautiful try in the corner to get their comeback on the right path for that game, because they were down 9-0 at halftime. Probably could have been 16-0, but one of the Georgians' try was disallowed from a forward pass. But they came out in that second half and started playing their Fijian style of footy, because in that first half, they were starved of that Fijian flow. Just couldn't get into the groove. And that was through the defensive pressure and the aerial pressure Georgia put on the Fijians. So I think he started that. And there was another outstanding try from Vinaya Hambosi. A pass between the legs from Celestino Ravutamanda. He's got the ball, threw it between his legs. It was a bounce pass to Hambosi. And he's gone through and scored and sealed that game. So the Fijians, now they just need to get the job done against Portugal in their next game. And they'll probably go through to the quarterfinals, which would be unreal.
And then speaking of your brothers and cousins, Ikalitahe, heard they obviously lost the game to South Africa, 49-18. But there was a nice moment there for your family.
Yeah, the Tongans. I'm going to touch that on that, his try at the end. But yeah, obviously the Tongans, probably similar to Samoa. But at the same time, the Tongans were in the pool of death. Like, that's such a tough pool. You got Ireland number one, South Africa number two, Scotland are in the top five or top six in the world. That's a tough pool to
throw. They've been thrown in the deep end, haven't they?
They have been. And no matter what players, like that could be the All Blacks in that pool, and they wouldn't be guaranteed a spot in the quarters with those sides that they would have had to play in week in, week out.
Do you know how they pick the pools?
To be honest, I should know this, but I don't. And I'll find out for you next week.
Did you end up getting the name of the PNG bag that I said?
Well, how many challenges are you sending me? It's one challenge a week. You've given me 40.
You keep going, oh, yeah, I'll come next week with it.
I come back with nothing. Promise the world, deliver an atlas. But anyway, that's all good. But back to Tonga. I think this is going to be Tota Gefu's last campaign as head coach as well. He's hanging up the boots there, and he's done an amazing job with Tonga. But you mentioned my cousin, Patrick Pellegrini, my mum's sister's eldest boy, came on in about 20 minutes to go. Does a nice little, against the run of play, chips over the top, or a bit more than a chip, more like a bomb chip. What do you call that sort of in between?
Chip kick.
Chip kick. Well, he's done a chip kick, and he's got the bounce, the luck of the bounce. And he's gone through and scored. So that's a pretty amazing effort from him, considering 18 months ago he was playing a bit of first grade here in Sydney, got an opportunity to work and play in England, pretty much playing on cow paddock over there in like the fifth division, might even be sixth division over in England. And now he finds himself on the world stage scoring a try against one of the best teams in the world.
What a moment. Is this the same cousin, Patrick, that you released
Yes.
His debut early.
Too early.
Here on Nijin Footy.
His World Cup call-up, I released it a bit early on here. So, well, look, doesn't matter anymore. He's there. He scored a try, and I taught him everything he knows. So thank me when you get back with the jersey. Patrick.
Well, that's enough from the rugby union, and we will touch on next week's results. But it's our turn now to cover all the women's footy news, because I think Shelley Long is preparing for the PNG Orchids Pacific Championships coming up.
So she's not here again?
Again, we're going to have to,
Shelley, where are you?
Share the workload.
Please.
But I'm hoping she'll be back next week.
Better things on. I don't blame her.
Hi, it's Maima Dalfa. I'm on the Canberra Raiders. You're here listening to Indonesian footy.
T, you got us?
Yeah, I got you, man.
Sweet, let's go.
And Newcastle's women establish a new rugby league dynasty. The girls from the Hunter are still the hunted. They win 24 points to 18 and go back-to-back to secure the sixth NRL Women's Premiership.
The NRLW Grand Final was a huge game. Like, the men's was huge, but this was pretty much similar.
Similar story.
Similar storyline.
The favourites being behind.
You had the Gold Coast left centre, Jamie Chapman, scoring a hat-trick.
Scored a hat-trick
like
as well.
Like Ezra Mann. And unfortunately, lost the grand final. Newcastle Knights taking this one out, 24-18, going back-to-back premierships. But I thought they had the NRLW Daily M medalist, Tamika Upton, the fullback for Newcastle Knights. She had two try assists. When they were down 18-12, she scored the try to even up the score and then scored the try to win the game.
15 out from the upright southern end. This is second last play, Newcastle. Can they break the 18 wall deadlock? Tamika Upton's kick to the in goal. Now it's ricocheted off 1-2. Upton can get there first in the in goal. It came off Lafipo, ricocheted back in the in goal, and Tamika Upton said, thank you very much, to put Newcastle back ahead.
She's an athlete. She's a freak, man. She was really inspiring to watch.
Yeah.
I know a lot of young girls will be watching that game, and to watch Tamika Upton play like that, she'll definitely inspire young girls to play rugby league.
She's very unassuming as well. You're probably, when you look at it, you're not going to think that she's going to gas you or bump you off or come up with something freaky like she does. That's why they call her Freaky Meeky. But the way she just carries the ball in two hands, eyes up, off the right foot again, and goes in, and you just saw Ivani Pilati in the background. The sniper must have got her because she fell over as well. And she's gone over for that try. And then just to have eyes up footy, put that little kick in. But the way she kicked it too, it's like she deliberately kicked it hard into the ground so it'd pop up nicely for her. So what an outstanding talent.
I do feel for Gold Coast, because I thought they had this game. You know, they were in control of this game. And if you've got the Daily M medalist in your own team, Tamika Upton, she was the difference. But another huge player that stood out for me, we had her here on the show last week, Yasmin Clydesdale, the Tongan Australian. She played left back row for the Newcastle Knights. She went out and had 21 hit-ups, made 184 metres with two offloads as well. The way that she carried the ball, those tough carries, especially when their team's on the back foot, they're looking for someone to step up and take that tough carry. That was Yasmin.
That's why she was Daily M Player of the Year, and that's why she's won 3 premierships.
Yep, 3 in a row.
3 in a row. 1 with the Roosters and back-to-back with the Knights.
And made she's the second rower of the year, Daily M Team of the Year. So congratulations, Yasmin Clydesdale, and also to the Newcastle Knights for, you know, a huge achievement for the city of Newcastle.
Malo lele, kohokuhingoa, tāna pulata, and you're listening to Indonesian Footy on ABC Australia.
Challenge of the week.
Challenge of the week this week.
How'd you go?
Look.
Push-ups. So I challenged you last week to do the 50 push-ups, because you challenged me the week before. You said that it didn't count because I was taking rest, even though my knees weren't or body wasn't on the ground. So I returned, served, and see how them long arms of yours would go in a 50 push-up challenge.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have gone at you. Oh, I think. So you could just return serve at me. Let's just play the audio. Oh, do you want to watch the footage while the audio goes?
Yeah, it'll be
and
that.
Then you can critique and we just go from there.
Yep.
All right. Let's play the audio.
Righto, T. I forgot during the week to do my push-ups. Half time of the grand final. Oh, I've had a big feed. So I'm probably about 5 kilos heavier than I should be.
Excuses already.
That's what my wife says in the background.
LJ, you want to count my push-ups?
Yeah.
I need to do 50. All right, ready?
Carry on.
As you can hear my wife in the background. Ready, and...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So as you can see there, okay, I've got the first five in cadence with my nephew LJ.
Hold on. I'm watching him. First five, they're not even halves. They're like less than halves, like quarters.
No, please.
You're pretty much bobbing your head.
It's a full length on your arms, that's for sure. So
which is a quarter push-up for you.
Nah, look, refuse. But anyway, my little nephew LJ, I was like, he comes in because all the kids are staying over for school holidays. He comes in and goes, what are you doing? I was like, I'm doing a push-up challenge. Can you count for me? No worries. First five, we're in sync. Let's have a listen to the next, or when we get to the back end of it, when I'm fatiguing.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Dude, he's still got 11 to go.
Hey?
Bro, that was not... Get back to
me. Who was counting for me? Oh, my goodness.
I forgot to count. 10. Two more. 10. One more.
No, you guys are the worst counters. You're not even saying it out loud. That was 50 the first time.
There was one more push-up. Oh. Let's rewind and count it.
We're going to have to rewind it. Oh, bro, I'm so...
Oh, mate, I'm just going to give it to you. Challenge failed.
Really?
Failed, mate.
Yeah, well, for the counting challenge for my wife and nephew, yeah, failed. But
one, you didn't even get to 50.
There was 43 two, before they counting.
Two, they weren't even full push-ups.
They were.
They were quarter push-ups.
For our listeners who couldn't see, like, my triceps look great.
And three.
And my biceps.
Even your wife's laughing at you, and you're getting angry at your wife.
I was angry, how you could tell.
You're getting angry.
Well, anyway, T.
All right, nice fail.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Next week, what do you got for me?
Challenge of the week. So I'm done with all the physical challenges. Done with them. You know, I just...
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, look, I'm not about that. We retired for a reason, T.
What was that reason? To stop
not
doing
good enough.
It. Wasn't good enough. Any exercise.
Yeah, stop doing... No, I'm still in all right shape. I just...
Can't do push-ups.
So I want to move back to eating. Because I thought that was a good period there where we were eating, we were drinking, we were sharing cultural feeds.
The old eating trick. Bringing free food.
Exactly. If it's free, it's for?
Me.
Me, exactly. So what we'll do is, I want you to cook something for me. But this one's going to be Nijin Fusion.
Nijin Fusion.
Do you know what, you know what fusion means, yeah?
Yeah, like when Goku and Vegeta, when they used to fuse into the one.
Yeah, well, that's... I like it, Dragon Ball Z. What a cartoon. But yeah, similar, but with food. So I want you to combine some Nijin food. Doesn't matter if it's Cook Island, Tongan or Samoan, with a bit of Aussie food or where we live in Australia, because we do live here in Australia. So it would be great to see you get a bit of Vegemite on toast with some taro in between.
Oh, so you want me to make a dish from a Nijin and an Australian...
Combine it together.
Yeah. And it has you're going to score it out of 10.
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
All right, sweet.
All good?
Challenge accepted. Let's go.
Let's go.
What's up, guys? Robert Liotta here from the Wallabies. Tuning in, listening to Nijin Footy. Let's age.
One of the greatest rugby league wingers of all time joins us here on Nijin Footy. Over 200 appearances for South and 107 tries. Third on the all-time list. He's represented Australia and Papua New Guinea and has a new kids book out called A Footy Tale. Welcome to Nijin Footy, Alex Johnson.
Hey, just before we get into that, are you short on those tries?
Yeah,
you
what said, was the number?
He said 107. I think you're 80.
Did I say 187?
No, you said 107. I think you're 80 short there.
I was waiting mate. For him to correct me, not you, mate.
That's it, mate. Jeez. Oh, I'm the 107.
Oh, I'm not counting the 80 that he scored against Sydney Roosters. That's all.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, 187 tries in 200 appearances. Pretty special. Well, welcome to the show, brother. I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time out after a busy season.
Can you tell us a bit about your heritage, your background? Where'd you grow up? And how close are you to your culture?
Yeah, so on my mum's side, I'm from PNG, Saibai Island, the Torres Strait Islands. They're the Kadal clan, and that's basically my background. My mum's side, my dad's side, I'm basically just Aussie, just a white fella on my dad's side there. So I'm pretty close to my culture. Obviously, with footy, I think it helped me a fair bit, especially with the All Stars game and Indigenous round and all things like that. It made me learn a lot more about my culture, and I think that's a big reason why I wanted to write this book that I wrote. I've got a little. I'll give it a plug now. It's got a lot of Indigenous culture in there, and I wanted to obviously shine a light on that, especially. And I feel like I'm pretty close to my culture, but obviously I can get a lot closer for sure.
So just on that, you touched on that book, your upbringing. So did you learn more about your culture just through footy? Like, do you think you would have had that same experience if you didn't play footy?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It's weird, eh? I know growing up, going through school and stuff, like I knew I was Indigenous, knew I was from PNG, but no one really talked about the culture too much at home. So it's not been since the last few years really where, myself through footy has really opened my eyes, and I've learned a lot more, being involved with other teammates as well, like Cody Walker, Greg Inglis over the years, Latrell Mitchell, just learning a lot of them as well. So I think if it weren't for footy, I probably wouldn't know as much, that's for sure.
What was it like when you did finally represent the PNG Kumuls for yourself?
Oh, it was awesome, mate. It was different. Obviously, playing over in PNG, I think everyone has to experience it if you haven't. It's probably one of the highlights of my rugby league career for sure. Running out, the atmosphere is just unbelievable. They just footy mad over there. They just live and breathe it. Everyone's like rock stars. And just playing for the first time, getting to represent my nan's heritage from PNG, it was absolutely awesome. And I love it. I can't wait to put the jersey on again very soon.
You also played for the Australian Prime Minister's team against the Kumuls. What was that experience like?
Yeah, that was different. Obviously, going against my heritage, but it was pretty stoked to obviously an honour to play for Australia for the Prime Minister's game, and that was over in PNG. And I remember I came up against Justin Ollam was on my wing actually. And he hadn't cracked it by then. And I remember running into him and trying to tackle this bloke. I'm like, this bloke, I've got a shot, injured shoulder or something. He's smacking me like, oh. I thought, PNG is very, obviously very tough and talented players coming through. And as you can see, Justin Ollam's made a name for himself. But the country in general, all the young kids coming through, the pathway they have now, I think the game's only going to grow and only going to be better with more PNG players playing.
You know, watching the scenes of last weekend's game and just seeing how passionate the people are about the sport of rugby league, seeing Daly Cherry Evans getting escorted off the field and just hearing other stories, why is it so popular, or why is it such a way of life for people in PNG?
Yeah, I don't know. It is just so popular. I think it's basically like we're like the movie stars over there. We're like the A-list celebrities. Everyone grows up watching the game. It's obviously the country's major sport, so everyone just lives and breathes it. And they may not have much money, but everyone's saving up every little kino that they can get just to go to a game. And that's the kind of obviously passion that I love, and I think we'll do really well in the NRL. So I know PNG are trying to get a team in the NRL for 2026, and I think the NRL will definitely benefit from that passion and that love for sure.
And you mentioned the rock fields. That's why probably all the Kumuls are made of rock. They feel like rock when you try and tackle them.
That's so true.
Man, it's crazy. They're proper granite, man. But you mentioned your book, A Footy Tale, coming out on October 3rd. Tell us, what's the book about?
Yeah, so A Footy Tale, it's about a bunch of bunnies. I got some inspiration from, obviously, the Rabbitohs, but a bunch of bunnies that are versing all the other teams. So there's teams, there's the Bulldogs, there's Dragons, there's, Tigers, Sharks, all these ferocious, tough, strong teams. And the team of bunnies, obviously, are little fluffballs, and they're having a hard time of it. So a good friend of the team by the name of Crow, which is a little reference to Russell Crow, but I thought I'd put that in. So Russell Crow, aka Crow, comes along and tells the bunnies, why don't we recruit other kinds of animals? So, the bunnies at first thought, oh, can we do that? We're the bunnies. But they end up getting on board and they end up recruiting Alex the Croc, which is myself. the Croc is my totem. They recruit Cody the Goanna, Cody Walker, his totem's the Goanna, and Latrell the Roo. And he does the kangaroo celebration. So they go and recruit some indigenous-based animals. And it turns out when a bunch of animals work together, different kinds of animals, they win some footy games. So that's basically what the story is about.
That's unreal, man.
You've sold it to me already. Like, I'm interested to hear more about it. But what inspired you, though, to write a children's book?
Basically, I always wanted to write something. That was the first thing. I feel like I'm a creative guy. And I was reading just books to my little boy, Sonny. This was like a couple of years ago now. I was just reading books and I was going through COVID, a bit of the off season. I'm just had a bit of time to actually do stuff. And I thought, you know what, I'll give this a crack. Why don't I write a book for Sonny? And then one day I'll get to read him the book that I wrote. So that's where sort of the genesis of it was. And from there, I just thought of what do I know best? How can I help myself write a book? I know about footy. I know a little bit about my culture and these are things I'm passionate about. So I just started writing and it all came together pretty quickly. Once I put pen to paper, it came out and very stoked that Alan and Unwin and the artist Greg Dreis as well did some amazing work and got it published for us.
Man, I absolutely love that, eh? Like to be able to write a book and just that inspiration that you had from your son as well. What lessons have you learned from, writing the book, life lessons?
Life lessons, there's a few that obviously I try to put in the book, ones that I think affect indigenous cultures, such as like inclusivity, trying to, bridge the gap there and be anti-segregation. So that's sort of life lessons I wanted to put into the book. But lessons that I've learned, probably more about just being a dad, doing something for someone else, getting that inspiration and trying to bring joy to other people. I think that's the main thing I've gotten out of actually writing a book is that I've written it for other people.
You mentioned Cody and you mentioned Latrell, Russell Crowe himself. Did they have any input on terms of how you portray their characters? Did Mitch just go, oh, if I'm a kangaroo, like you got to make me, pretty special or be the biggest character? Was anything like that?
No, they were all stoked when they found out that they were a bit of inspiration for the book, and I wanted to be as true as I could to their character. So you were right, the kangaroo is a big, muscly roo. So and Cody the Goanna is playing teaching his boys a bit of footy in the book. So obviously he's very close with his boys, so he loved that was a part of the book. And I only just told Rusty, actually, not long ago. So he had no idea. And I just said, oh, can I send you a copy of this book? You actually inspired it a little bit. And he's like, yeah, sweet, send one across. And hopefully he gives me a good review. He hasn't read it yet, but hopefully it's a good one.
Does the crocodile score heaps of tries or
187 of them?
he's a very fast croc, I'll tell you that. But, yeah, I'm sure he scored around 187.
What's been your favourite part? And other than the completion during this process for you writing the book?
Yeah, I think just obviously writing it. I don't know, just as I said earlier, I always thought I was pretty creative all through school. I always wanted to do something like this. And just the process of actually knuckling down and writing something and then talking to a publisher and saying, is this something that could possibly happen? I just absolutely loved the whole process. And yeah, hopefully it goes well and I can do it again. I've already got a couple of ideas for some books that I've written down. So, hopefully it all goes well. And, Alan and Unwin, if you're watching this, put me on for a couple more books, eh?
Man, including Latrell and Cody, yeah, that's quite special. They must mean a lot to you as a person. Do you learn much from them about your culture? Like, have you learned, during your experiences with them at the footy grounds?
Yeah, for sure. Firstly, they're they're great blokes. Obviously, they're great footy players, but they're awesome blokes. You might not be able to tell from some of the stuff they do on the field, with some of the shots that Latrell and Cody mouthing off all the time. But,
it's just part of the game.
I absolutely love them. They're like brothers to me. So, the couple of things I probably have learned some stuff off them indirectly, obviously through All Stars and just being around them through the process of designing our jerseys every year for Indigenous Round. So that's something that South do. We design our jerseys and a bit of storytelling that we like to put on the jersey, and Cody and Latrell always have a big part in that. So just learning little things like that off them, for sure. But, I'm just glad that I can sort of repay them and put them in a book. So they mean a lot to me.
It's awesome, man. A footy tale out October 3rd. Make sure you get down to the stores and get your copy.
Do your kids now have a say on what they're allowed to read, or you just go, nah, this is, we're reading this one again, Sonny, we're doing this one again. 7 days a week, bedtime stories is a footy tale until they know it word for word. Is that the case?
It was no choice of Sonny's, but it's his favourite book for sure. He does. He knows it word for word. I'm pretty lucky that Sonny absolutely loves footy. So anything footy related, he just jumps on board. And I read it to him the first time. And ever since, every night before bed now, we've got to read a footy tale. He absolutely loves it.
That's hectic.
Oh, perfect, bro.
I want to talk about just quickly about the South Sydney's journey this season. What do you think about how the season played out? I know you've had a real strong start. Tell us a bit about, what your thoughts are on this season.
It was just one of those seasons, eh? I think it happens in footy. You have a lot of ups and downs. And, this season we started up on a high, I guess. We were at the top of the ladder about halfway through. And I think that origin period really hurt us. There was periods through there where we had, 10 of our starting first graders out. And obviously, not to make excuses, but I think that sort of started a downward trend in our footy, and we never really could get it back. In the end, we only needed to win one more game. We would have made the final. So, it's just one of those years. Like, we lost to teams, Bulldogs and Dragons, in that period that, normally we should beat. So it wasn't meant to be this year. But luckily for us, our team doesn't change too much. We get someone like Jack Whiten coming in, so... Yeah, I think we can definitely move forward and be a lot better next year. And our team gets a good preseason under their belt now for the first time for a while. So I'm sure we'll hit the ground running round one and hopefully do a lot better.
You mentioned preseason. Have there been whispers going around, floating around, rumours to say that you guys are going to get absolutely flogged?
I wouldn't blame them, that's for sure. But yeah, the heat wave that just went through Sydney, I was just thinking of pre-season going, if it's as hot as this, I might quit. Pre-season's horrible, mate.
Oh, mate, as long as you keep scoring tries, mate, don't worry about it. You'll be sweet. On that note, we want to wish you the best, leading into the next phase of your life. We want to congratulate you for your book, also the being a father again. And to be honest, it's been a pleasure to be able to watch a lot of those 187 tries, T, that you've scored, just finishing in the corner. It's been special, and you've been a massive inspiration to a lot of PNG and Indigenous and Australian kids growing up. So we want to just keep wishing you well, all the best in the preseason that's going to be coming up, and hopefully South Sydney go that little bit further next year.
That's it. Well, thanks, Sam T, for having me. It was a great chat, and allowing me to talk about my book, A Footy Tale.
Once again, thank you to Alex Johnson, that was outstanding, and we can't wait to read his book, A Footy Tale. But coming up next, we have our Nesian knowledge. And is it my turn or your turn this week?
Well, you don't have any questions set for me, so it's my turn for you.
Okay, Nesian knowledge.
Nesian knowledge.
Why are you giggling over there?
No, because you asked me, is it my turn or your turn? And you knew it was my turn.
What's the score update?
Score update. So you're on 7. I'm on 7.5.
Ooh, close one.
Yeah. So I got a few questions for you. And I thought it's a bit of a mixture. I got a grand final question, a Nesian question, and I'm going to bring back a riddle.
No.
Yes, I am. So let's start off with the grand final one.
Yeah, let's go. I'm all over it.
So we know the Panthers, they have made three in a row.
Is that one of it?
No.
Okay.
But who scored the first try in the 2020 NRL Grand Final?
The one they lost.
The one they lost. The first try.
Melbourne Storm player?
Melbourne Storm, but I don't know whether it was a Melbourne Storm player or a Panthers player.
I think it was a Melbourne Storm player.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did they get the lead early? He's got no idea and he's going to take
a guess. No eyes, but I'm going to go Will Chambers.
Justin Nolan.
Oh, it's close. The opposite centre.
Yes, it was a penalty try. Justin Nolan. Yeah. So 0 points for you.
Oh, that's not bad, though. Like, that's how, what, it's 3 years
you say?
Ago. Will Chambers.
Did Will Chambers play in that one?
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
That was his last one before going to Japan.
Oh, Justin Olam scored that first try. Next question. I'll go the riddle. So.
I lied about him going to Japan too after 2020. I can't remember. But anyway.
What has cities but no houses? Forests but no trees. And water but no fish.
What, say that again?
What has cities but no houses?
Cities, no houses.
Forests but no trees. And water but no fish.
Cities, no houses. Forest, no trees. Fish, no water.
Ah, oh, man. Oh, you're going to be here all day.
I know. A Monopoly set.
Oh, close. It was, you're on the right kind of line, but it was a map.
Oh.
Yep. You're good thinking, but you were on the right track.
Yeah.
All right, my last one.
It's because I was timed, you know, like, because we don't have much time, so I didn't want to be here thinking forever, but anyway.
Yeah, you might have got there if you had 2 hours. So my last question here. I love coconuts. Like, I love the coconut fluid. Even when I was living in the Cook Islands, it was my favourite thing, coconuts.
Yep.
I've got a list in front of me, a list of 10 ways you can use a coconut tree. I want you to give me 6 of them.
Okay, you can use, oh, like as in the coconut shell as well?
The whole tree, whole shell, yep.
You can use it as shade, that's for one. You can use it for climbing, what? There's two.
Climbing?
You can get to climb the coconut, like it's good for exercise and that. 3, obviously you can use it as food. When you eat the meat of the coconut, you can drink out of it as well with the coconut water. You can use the shell to use as your kava cup. You can use the oil to put all over your body. That's 6.
Keep going.
Just keep going. What else can you do?
Just do one more to replace the climbing. I'll give it
okay.
to you.
Okay. You can use the shavings to create milk.
Yes, great work. So you've got milk, flour, food, water, oil for both cooking, skincare, and your hair. You're getting the brooms.
Do you know what the coconuts are good for as well? They're really good for like lint to start a fire.
Yeah.
That's what they use, very good.
Roast, the husk is for, that's the lint.
Yeah.
Medicine, fires in traditional kitchens. A natural scrubber and craft material.
There you go.
So I'll give you that point, mate.
Yes.
You're on. So
I'm in the lead.
You are in the lead now on 8 points and I'm on 7.5. But that's all we have time for here on Nijan Footy. And we will see you next Monday on ABC Radio Australia or listen anytime wherever you get your podcast.
Let's go. See you next week. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.